December, here we are. It ought to be characterized by reflection, introspection of the last year, and anticipation of next year. Let's talk about it today. Glad you're with us. Welcome. Well, here we are into the last month of 2024. Welcome on Monday morning, December the 2nd, to All Things Apostolic. I'm glad you tuned in and joined us today. And come along beside us to talk about good things together. So December, and now we are almost dead in the middle of the holiday season, in which business days go down and holidays go up. And also, in a lot of businesses, productivity goes down. People taking leave, people going on vacation, people using vacation days for this time of the year, going to see family and friends on occasion on which you probably have not done, maybe once or twice earlier in the year if your friends and family live a long distance. We are going to spend the holidays with family, and we're looking forward to having a tremendously great time. So we might as well enjoy this. You know, some people say, well, you know, Christmas is really a pagan holiday. You know, I'm kind of, I'm a liberal on that. I'm kind of ho-hum about that. Somebody says, well, December 25th was the birthday of the sun god. And so my take on that is that we have captured that day. It's now the birthday celebration of the Son of God, because we took it away from the paganism. And now we have instituted truth. We've realigned what these days ought to be. So this is a great time, you know, and you say, well, we shouldn't celebrate it at the same time. Well, there are so many things in society. The whole evolution of language itself and how language has come to us. It's got words that have come from Christian origins, words that literally were created out of Christian origins. It's got words that go way back that were created out of pagan origins, names of the month and all kinds of things that symbolized things in the past that they do not symbolize for us today. We have stripped them of their pagan power and used them either in functional utilitarian ways, like the names of the month, or we use them as captured days to celebrate. And so anyway, that's my take on it, for whatever it's worth. So in these holidays, it also signals the end of the year. You know, the pictures of the year as an old man, because he's now, the year is old. It's almost over. And the New Year's pictured as a baby. It's just born. It's just starting, and so forth. So we're at the end of the old year, and we are coming into the new year. This is December the 2nd. This week is December the 2nd through December the 6th and or 7th. And so it's a time, thinking of the right word here, of reflection probably is the best word. The last month of the year, we ought to be taking some time of reflection on how well or how not well we have spent our time in this year. What have we accomplished? What things did we have in our mind to get done in 2024 that we got done? Things that were substantive, things that were important, things that were heavy, that had gravitas. What goals did we set that we've reached? And it's a time of reflection for those things that we did not reach these goals. It's a time of reflection of why we did not reach them. What were the impediments that kept us from reaching them? Was it something in myself that kept us from reaching them? Or was it other things, outside forces, people and circumstances and laws and regulations and rules? And so how do we work our way through that? Then the reflection and the introspection needs to turn around, about face, from the past year and look at the new year. What do I anticipate accomplishing in the new year? Now, this year has gone, to me, this year has gone by tremendously fast. It's just blown by. It's been, though, a great year. And when I go back and review this year, it's been an incredibly great year. And great things have happened. The university, Wilson University, has received accreditation. People that go to school here now, they can feel certain that their education is as accredited as any education of any university of any size in America, which is in many ways in the world. It's a benchmark. And on top of that, the university has vigorously set in motion processes to create new degrees. And all of these are in an apostolic, a deeply embedded in an apostolic ethos, because we believe that leadership on the highest level in the world, I don't care if you take political leadership or business leadership, it doesn't matter if you take educational leadership, any area of life, there is no leadership that is as deep, as probing, as broad, as powerful, as effective, as apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled leadership. Now, you look at churches that are apostolic and Holy Ghost-filled, and you say, well, it doesn't seem that way. They look like just another church. In many cases, they're not the biggest church in town. The leaders are not the most profound leaders. I mean, if you know them, you can look and see that they're not the most profound leaders. And so what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean is it's there. The potential is there. But all of these things don't just happen. There's revelation involved. And you have to have a revelation of these things, of how apostolic leadership works. There's revelation of these things. And almost never does apostolic leadership reach its optimum unless it is hooked somewhere to others, other human leaders that create an environment. They all live in this environment, and you have to find entrance into that environment. You have to understand, you have to be able to grasp. And so this grasping stuff is twofold. Number one, it can be learned. Number two, it can be transferred. And so things that are learned are cognitive. Things that are transferred intuitively are affective. Affection, love, emotions, will, motivation, all of those are over here on the affective side. Cognitive, you got to know some stuff that's just stuff. It's books. It's accessing revelatory truths as it is mediated through other men or women or leaders or writers or teachers or people of action. It's mediated through them, and their knowledge comes to us in books and so forth. It's rational. But the intuitive side is what we would call unmediated. It's not mediated through these things. It's direct. It's direct. It's in the spirit. Now, if you're a cessationist, that is what many evangelicals, leaders are. I don't think their people are. Their people just don't know, because these leaders don't teach them different, which they are remiss in that. But a cessationist is a person that believes that that intuitive side, where there is actually spiritual revelation of a supernatural character, that doesn't happen anymore, that with the close of the Bible, that all stopped. Now, they insist that all revelation is only channeled through rationality, through teaching and so forth. Luther was big on this. And this is why when people around him were receiving the Holy Ghost in Pentecostal fashion, just as they did in the Bible on the day the church was founded, that's pretty heavy validation right there. And it was preached about by the only man in the history of the entire world, Old Testament, New, secular, pagan, or Christian, the only man in the entire world that the keys of the kingdom of God was given to. And that was the apostle Simon Peter. And they were given to him by our Lord, who is the risen second man, Adam being the first, two corporate heads of the whole world. Adam one and Adam second. The Bible also talks about Adam, and then it talks about Jesus as the last Adam. So anyway, there is the last Adam is resurrected, which means he's alive, which means he communicates. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of the resurrected Christ. Think about that. And that spirit is alive. It quickens us. Quicken is an old English word that the Bible uses for make alive. And so it's quickening. And so the Spirit of the Lord talks and communicates, leads and guides people in their attempts to do mission for God and their attempts to be leaders. Well, that spiritual dynamic is critical. It's critical. People that tell you can't have that, it doesn't mean, I mean, they're sincere. They may be honest people, but they are honestly ignorant of the reality. Because if you reject the fact that the Holy Spirit can come into you just like it did in the Bible, it came to those people in Acts chapter 2 as a mighty rushing wind. Suddenly, has anything suddenly happened in your church in the last 5 years? Suddenly, it came suddenly. And it fell upon each of them, and tongues like as a fire came upon them. There's a whole study just on that, and the comparison of that to the giving of the law in the Old Testament, because fire and thunder and wind accompanied the coming of the law at Mount Sinai with Moses, and the Holy Spirit coming in the New Testament aligns, that's typological of everything that's happening here with these people in the New Testament. Some of it's not typological. Some people believe it was absolutely actual, the flames, that when people, it's like spoke, when the Word of God spoke, there's a big theological debate. Could people actually see the Word of God with flames coming from the mouth? Could they actually see it on Mount Sinai? There's scripture for having to be able to see it. But anyway, and so tongues of fire set upon them, and they all begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. So today they say, oh, no, that couldn't. That's, and then they begin to make fun of it and denigrate it and so forth because they've never had it. They've never had it. People with PhDs that have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost the way they got it on the day of Pentecost. And let me tell you something, sir or ma'am, it doesn't matter what degree you have, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for everybody, and it's more dynamic and more powerful than all your degrees stacked up together. I know about degrees, I've got degrees and all of that, but that does not equate to a substitute for the spiritual revelatory knowledge that comes in the Holy Ghost, unmediated, direct from God into the soul of man in a transformative and soteriological way. Transformative and soteriological way. Important consideration. So anyway, these are all reflections we should be. If you're going to a church and people don't receive the Holy Ghost there and they tell you you can get the Holy Ghost there, that's one of the things you need to reflect on for the beginning of the new year and say, I need to find a church where I can actually get a biblical experience of salvation that's full and whole, except the man be born again of the water and the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, read the birthday of the church in Acts chapter 2. It'll tell you what it means. Water and Spirit. All right. God bless you. Listen, we want you to have a tremendous great year. We'll be with you next week, God willing. But this is a time for reflection and anticipation of a great future this coming year.